No, no, no. She's not a medical doctor, but she can sure cure your tax problems or your financial woes. She's the how-to girl. It's the Dr. Friday Show. If you have a question for Dr. Friday, call her now, 737-WWTN. That's 737-9986. So here's your host, financial counselor and tax consultant, Dr. Friday.
G'day, I'm Dr. Friday, and the doctor is in the house. It's a nice, rainy Saturday, I guess. Not really raining here in Spring Hill, but it's supposed to. And if you want to join the show, if you've got tax questions, or maybe you're working on 2024 questions, or maybe you're even thinking, do I need to amend my franchise excise because I was an early filer? The phone number here in the studio is 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986 is the number in the studio. And I will say, many of us filed extensions for many of our businesses and franchise excise if they had something to do with depreciation, because we did know that something was coming down the line. But in some cases, you don't always know, and some clients just like to get it paid and done with. But you might be an individual that needs to reevaluate, especially if you have assets and the state of Tennessee was not complying with bonus depreciation. We always had separate situations. So I know for a fact I have one or two that we will have to go back and amend those returns so that they can get some of their refunds back, because they've actually physically overpaid due to the fact that the tax law did go in effect after the tax season had already begun. So again, if you are an individual that has a small business and maybe you have assets or different things like that, there are many things that may have changed, but one of the main ones is that the Tennessee is now following the federal law for bonus depreciation. So that can lead to an important situation on that. All right. So Kevin here in Nashville, let's go ahead and get him on the line. Hey, Kev, what can I do for you?
Hi, thanks, Friday. A question about taxes in general. I'm considering getting my CFP, and I'm wondering, okay, are there any courses or like certifications you would recommend for someone who would want to kind of like broaden his client base? So like I could give maybe not yeah, like some like just general tax advice.
Right. So CFP is a certified financial planner. I mean, you do financial planning on the one side, but obviously you need to know taxes to do good financial planning.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, there are a couple good programs, National Association of Enrolled Agents. You don't have to be an enrolled agent to take many of their courses. That's actually back in the day how I became an enrolled agent, when I heard there was such a organization, hadn't known anything about enrolled agents in the day. That would be an organization. There's also the Tennessee Association of Enrolled Agents. I know we have a seminar coming up next month where you can take, get CE credits, find out more about current tax laws, and also get to know some of the enrolled agents or tax people, because at least in my practice, I've been at almost 28 years, but I work with a lot of financial planners because, you know, there's always those moving parts of AMT tax and different things. But I think it's great that you do learn a little bit more, because I have met some financial planners, to be quite honest with you, that just rely a lot on software. They're not actually knowing a lot of that information. So I think it's a great idea, Kevin. Hopefully that information will help. And if you have any questions, you always call my office.
Okay, so National Association, start with the National Association of Enrolled Agents.
Right, NAEA.org, or I think it's the website.
Okay, just a quick question. Would you recommend,
sure,
like actually working for the IRS, or is that too?
Personally, obviously, I'm on the other side, right? So I represent taxpayers against the IRS. Many of my friends, mostly, obviously auditors that have either worked, and there's some enrolled agents that were at one point revenue officers or agents in their history. I don't know. I mean, it does help, obviously, if you actually work on the audit side, you would truly understand a lot of the tax laws, at least what's currently on the books. But I've never worked for the IRS, and always like to be on this side of the table.
Okay, perfect. All right, Friday, thank you so much for your advice.
No problem. Thank you. All right. If you have any questions, you can certainly go to you can call the studio 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986, taking your calls so we can actually see what you want or if we can help you out with some of your tax questions. It was actually a good question. You know, so often we don't get to hear about some of those. So I think anytime you want to, I mean, I have clients that actually will take seminars on taxes every year because their taxes are somewhat complicated and they like to understand what the current tax law, like I was talking when I opened up the show, we have had tax law changes in the state of Tennessee. One was the carryover credits where they're now, you know, any credit that was earned after on or after December 31st, 2028 is going to be automatically applied. That wasn't always the case. We had to make sure we applied it. So it, you know, makes it easier because sometimes people forgot they had a credit and then it was rolling forward and then they would pay taxes. The other big one that's going to affect many of my clients, of course, is the assets, right? The bonus depreciation, because you didn't have a bonus depreciation here in Tennessee on the franchise excise side. So it will be nice to have some additional. And it's also easier when you're doing your federal return and your state return. It's much simpler to follow the same process than it is to have to have two separate processes, one for federal and one for state. So those are definitely one of those. And that went into effect in 2023. So again, if you filed your taxes and you did your normal and it was before the change, then it would be important to go back and make the changes on the state side. And then for you larger employers that might actually have family leave or medical leave, they're moving some of the federal credits also to the state. Again, most of you hopefully have a enrolled agent or CPA that's handling your taxes, and they should be on top of all of those changes. But if you did file early, again, I really want you to make sure that you make those changes so you have it. Let's hit Deb real quick. Hey, Deb in Smyrna, what can I do for you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm completing a final 1041, and the estate name received a 1099-R in box one, was checked, and box seven distribution code was T.
Okay. I believe this was a Roth?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, was there anything in box two?
No.
Okay. So theoretically, there's nothing to report. I usually do under other income. I usually make a memo of the 1099-R with the federal ID number. And then obviously under the taxable amount, I put zero because it is a Roth distribution, therefore no taxes, but I do usually list it in there. So that way, if there's something that comes back later, you know that you actually did receive it and you did report it. It's just that there is nothing to report theoretically as far as taxable income on the 1041.
Okay. The other question was the estate did receive interest income, you know, it's like 130 bucks. Do I carry that number down on the form anywhere?
Right. That would actually go under interest and dividends. I mean, there's a schedule there that you would carry over. Depending on the trust, you may have a $100 or a $300,000, $300 exclusion. If it's a if it's a regular deceit, traditional trust, I should know the proper term and it's just left my brain.
Would it be the qualified dividends allocable to the estate, and I put it there, which is in box? Well, it's not really a box. It's just a line. Is that where I would put it?
Right. You would yes, you will carry it down from there, and then obviously if you've got qualified dividends and interest, there should be a place where you see bank interest or interest, there should be one line on that. And then that would carry down. Again, you said $137. theoretically, right. Again, not knowing the type of trust, but you do get an exclusion that should be down there right before the taxable amount. I don't know, say 100 or 300 or 600, and whatever the exclusion is, you can back out, and then you only pay tax on the remaining $37. Worst scenario, maybe zero, depending on the type of trust.
Okay, and since I have to mail this in, would it hurt to send a copy of that 1099-R?
No, you don't need to send a copy of that with the report. Okay. No.
Okay. All right. Well, that takes care of my issue. Thank you so much.
Thanks. All right. All thanks. Right. And yeah, again, for anyone that's wondering what she's completing, a 1041 is for a trust or an estate. And she said it was her final. So she was closing out an estate situation. So again, making sure that you get, and you do want to make sure you file a final one, even if there is no income to report, because you want to close that federal ID number. Very important to do. That way you don't keep getting love letters. The IRS knows the estate is closed and you're able to, you know, move forward in your life and not have to worry about all of that. And that's pretty straightforward to do. So good job in handling that. So if you want to join the show, you can at 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986. You can also email friday@drfriday.com if you're not a person that likes to make those phone calls, because we all know that, you know, let's be honest, it's not always easy to make phone calls. Hopefully that you have filed your taxes, but keep in mind that Robertson, Weekly, Cheatham, Gibson, Stewart, Davidson, Dixon, Montgomery, and Sumpner are on extension automatically until June 17th. So if you forgot to make an extension, or maybe you didn't pay your bill yet, because you usually would pay the bill on April 15th and you have this automatic extension, you need to make sure you hit that deadline or make sure you have the preparation done before then, because otherwise, you know, the penalty happens. And we're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we're going to hit the phone lines. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about, even though you get this automatic extension, that you could be getting penalties by not paying it on time. But let's go ahead and take a quick break so we can hit the phone lines. When we get back, you are listening to the Dr. Friday Show. I'm an enrolled agent licensed by the Internal Revenue Service to do taxes and representation. We're going to take this break and we'll be right back with the Dr. Friday Show. All righty, we are back here live in studio. And if you want to join the show, you can at 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986. And let's go right to the phone lines. We've got Ken in Eagleville. Hey, Ken, what can I do to help?
We've got what started off as a simple handling of a survivorship and it's turning into a nightmare for us. It's maybe simple for you. That's the reason I need your help. Series of events. My wife's brother died in February of 23. We filed his taxes for 22, like we should, and also filed more or less a closed account. His whole estate was payment on death. All accounts was payment on death. So there's no will. Everything was transferred over through POD. But what has happened now is, in a month ago, we get this check for $13,000 that after everything's closed out, and the check, he was a class action suit situation.
Oh, no.
And yeah, and he of course, his check was made out to him or my wife. It's or, not an or. And so he's dead. So she cashed it. Now, do we claim that $13,000 on ours as income, or can it go back as part of the estate?
Well, it sounds like there really wasn't much of an inherited state because it was all POD. So in essence, it's POD to her, the class action. She will be the one that's going to pay the taxes on it.
So then we have to, well, being it's only 13.3, that's below, my understanding, below the minimum for filing. So do we even file?
Well, if your income is below all of that, then the answer is no, you won't have any taxes due on the 13.3, but I don't know if you have other income other than Social Security. I'm guessing.
No,
I have no idea. Interest, dividends, or anything.
That's my question. We definitely have to file. But the point is, his estate, the 13.3.
But this didn't come to his estate. This came to your wife. The estate was already POD'd. Yeah. So the estate doesn't exist. in essence. And if you ran it through a 1041, you'll pay a higher tax than you would on your own personal tax, because it starts at 24% on an estate tax. So it's not likely. And the fact was, it was paid basically to your wife. Now, did she have to distribute that money to somebody else after she received it?
Yes, her brother.
Well, her brother passed away, so there was another brother?
No, this is the second brother, a living brother.
Okay, so, a living brother. Okay, got you. So, I mean, in theory, what she's going to need to do, since it had her name and the deceased brother's name on the check, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so she's going to have to, before she does any distribution, she needs to calculate her taxes. So that would be money that would be held until you can calculate how much your guys' joint tax on that. And then she would split whatever his share of that after taxes. There's no way of transferring that over to him as additional tax that I know of.
To summarize, then, we claim it as income to us, and then we'll make the distribution later. But right now, mm-hmm. we claim it on our taxes with our regular income.
That is 100% correct. Yes.
Right.
It's not treated as inheritance. Okay. I really enjoy your show. Been listening for years. It was the first time I called. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Ken. I appreciate it very much. All right. Let's hit Mike in Nashville. Hey, Mike, what's happening?
Hey, hello. Just got a couple quick questions. I'll try to be brief. One is about an insurance settlement that a friend of mine received, about $20,000. And I should say, he was going to receive it, and they said, well, who's your contractor? I'm a sole proprietor. I said, well, just go ahead and make it out to me, naively, of course. And so the check came to me from the insurance company. I since forgot about it. It's already been 2 years. What is my recourse here?
So you received the insurance check. Are you his contractor? Did you do work for him?
Technically not yet. He's kind of like held off. So no, I didn't do anything. I just basically passed the money on to him. So I was just going to be a basically.
I gotcha. So you received it and gave the money to him. So theoretically you needed to, I mean, your recourse would be is to have transferred the 1099. Cause in essence you refunded him the money you received from the insurance company.
That's correct.
And, yes. You know, and since it didn't come directly from the insurance company, which would have considered a settlement to offset maybe roof damage or something else, you can do it as other income, a 1099 miss, because he didn't work for you. There was no earnings. But right. you would do it as other, and then you need to transfer it back. It really becomes his issue, since it really looks like from the business standpoint, it was a refund because services were never rendered.
Right. And the point, and I guess the bottom line here is I'd forgotten about it. It didn't even, because I file long form every year because I've got rental property. And so sure. I didn't even report it. Now I've received insurance proceeds before, and that's my next question. Well, really it's not the next question, but it related to this property. Right. So I had two capital gains on two sale of properties back in 2022. I filed an extension. I owed money, of course. I waited, gosh, way too long, incurred interest and penalties probably in the tune of $15,000 to $20,000. Now, here's where I'm going with this. I paid the actual amount of the capital gain, which was like in the 90s. And I paid that because I kind of heard through maybe something, it could be misinformation that, well, during COVID, they're going to waive a lot of interest and penalties. I have since not received any notice since the very first notice a year and a half ago, years ago.
Well, 2022 did not fall into that waiver, just to let you know. There was stuff in 2020 where the government was closed because of COVID, and therefore there was waivers out there because people couldn't get communication. And even in early 2021, we had a few, but mostly it was the year of 2020. So I will say, if you were to sign on to ID.me with the IRS, you will probably see that their collections and their interest and stuff is still accumulating, right? Now, if you've been a good little taxpayer, Mike, for the last few years, and you haven't had any kind of waivers or penalties assessed, and you've asked for forgiveness, my suggestion would be is to call the IRS and say, hey, they can see the penalties, right? I mean, they can see them right in their computer, and ask them if you can have first-time forgiveness.
And let me just say this real quick. I think I was advised by an attorney. I went and got an attorney. He claimed he could do all these creative things to maybe settle with the IRS since I've incurred all these interest and penalties. And again, I owed somewhere in the 90s or close to 100 on the two sales of the property. But the point is, he said, don't call the IRS. Why? Again, I called him, and the guy, he said, is this your first time? And I said, well, yeah, but there was an incident 6 years ago or something. And so he recorded something. But anyway, I haven't gotten any more notices. It's been almost 2 years.
It is possible that you actually got the waiver. So I won't tell you that the balance is zero, Mike, only because interest is never waived and you only paid the original amount. But it would be a lot less, right? Because the penalties are what hurts the most. Again, I mean, personally, if you've got an attorney representing you, then obviously let him. I'm never would supersede your power of attorney. But at this point, he could be delaying it. And that doesn't help you any because there's no magic way to make interest disappear. So right. If you already got the waiver, you've done his job. And there's not going to be a lot of other magic because you probably have assets enough to pay the bill that's left.
I went away from him almost a year ago already. And I said, because I paid him like all this money up front, and then he charged me $500 and refunded it. And I said, let me just handle it. I don't want to pay $10,000. And so I went on and paid the capital gain itself, but not the penalties and interest, which was huge.
I would do a follow up just to make sure there's not something like little festering and interest charging on interest, you know, which they can do. Or even penalty for not paying the interest and you've already gotten the waiver. So, I mean, we're probably talking, you know, $1,000 or something, not like what you had before, but you don't want to leave it out there just because the IRS hasn't notified you.
Okay. Yeah. So don't.
Okay.
Don't,
I mean, you've done the hard work. You've made it go away.
Okay. Yeah. So, but go ahead and volunteer and get in touch with them. And you said
exactly.
Something about
exactly. Because. You know, it's probably a few dollars and you'd rather not keep it growing just because they haven't sent you a love letter.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, love letter. Okay. That's good. Okay.
All right, buddy. Okay, thanks for the phone call. Right. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye. Uh-huh.
All right. Let's hit Dan in Brentwood. Hey, Dan, what can I do for you, sweetheart?
Hi, Dr. Friday. Thanks for taking the call. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Good. Bit of a unique question, hopefully of use to somebody besides myself. And it has to do with lending friends money. I have a friend.
Okay.
She needs windows for her condo. They're going to cost $15,000. The state has a program, a grant program, that will give her back $10,000 of that, assuming she meets certain criteria, which are not that difficult to meet. Now, if I lend her the $15,000 with the contingency of getting the $10,000 grant money back upon delivery of that, and let the remaining $5,000 be a gift. What documentation do I need for that to the IRS, and what IRS landmines might there be in that?
You're not really playing with anything from the IRS, in all honesty, because you can gift her $17,000 without any paper trail. So then, and you're doing that, right? So you're giving her $15,000. So from the IRS standpoint, there's nothing there, and you would have to pay tax before you gift versus the other way. And since basically you're looking at $5,000 as a gift, and potentially in the perfect world, you get the $10,000 back. No guarantees in life, so I'm saying that. But it's a wash anyways, assuming that there's no problem with the grants. And I'm assuming the state has no issue. As long as she got windows and the windows apply, then life is good, right? She got her new windows. You got, you know, she got them for $5,000 additional versus the other. And you're a good friend that's basically helping her out. So there would be no tax consequence in this scenario.
Great. I just wanted to make sure there weren't any landmines in there. Thank you.
Yep. No, you did awesome. All right, buddy. Appreciate that phone call. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our second break here. You can join the show. We're having some cool questions. I'm liking this today. 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986. We're going to be right back with the Dr. Friday Show. All righty, we are back here live in studio, and we have Josh and Dixon that's been holding through the break. So why don't we have Josh join us on the show? Hey, Josh, what can I do for you?
Hey, Dr. Friday. Great show. I just wanted to know if you can cash some bonds that were inherited from a relative, my aunt, without being the executor, was never an executor on her estate.
All right. So are the bonds in your aunt's name?
She purchased them. They have her name on them. And I have the paperwork, okay, that was given to me by my father, who passed away. When he passed away back in 22, my mom inherited all that. I guess she inherited by default, mm-hmm. whatever was his. Her name's not on the bond list. I'm mentioned, my brother's mentioned, and two cousins and my dad are mentioned. So my dad's dead. It's just me and my brother and two cousins are mentioned on the paper of inheritors, and the percentages, everything's all printed on there.
Well, I'm going to tell you, bonds can be, I would actually probably go to someone like my Hank Parrott. He does all my financial stuff. I know he deals with bonds, because I do know I have purchased bonds for nieces and nephews. And I know that if something happens to one, there is a list that goes down, but a lot of times they want the bonds changed or have a true direct descendant situation. It's not as simple as taking in. And nowadays you have to send the bonds in to cash them in, most of them. So you probably want to call the bond company. Maybe that's also a second base. Okay. What did they say, Josh?
They said, are you the executor? I said, no, there is no exec. There was never an executor for her estate. Uh-huh. So, So basically she said, well, you have to, what do you call that?
Probate it?
Not nominate, but yeah, you have to, somebody has to become executor first.
Right.
And then that person.
So they would basically make the estate have to go through probate to actually then have an exec, you know, estate. And then from that point, they're going to have you reissue those bonds in the name of you guys. It's a lot of work for a small amount of bonds, but unfortunately.
I'm out of state. And my brother's in the state where my aunt passed. So my next question was, can I do it from Tennessee, or do I have to go back up to, up north in New Jersey and have it established there?
Most of the time, bonds, I would say the estate has to be open in the state in which she lived. I'm not an attorney, right. So that is a winging that conversation a little bit, but my assessment would be that I probably require that. And then have to go through, a version of at least getting someone assigned as maybe there's something simple. We used to have a small estates here, but I don't believe we have them anymore in Tennessee. They used to have a simpler system. Maybe in the state they live in, maybe there is a small, estate setup, because that's what you're talking about. You might be able to contact the state that she passed away and just see if that would be something that, I don't know how much you're talking about in bonds, but, if it's less than 50,000 or something, they may have a simpler system that could be used where your brother or whatever that lives in state could be just made the executrix. Something simple, I hope.
It's more than 50, and it's got to be split five ways.
Okay. So I'm assuming then you probably need to open up probate, or at least open up where someone can be so that way they have the authority to talk to banks and to get these all cashed. And then that person would also be responsible for distribution of all the funds that, would be required. So you guys would eat stuff,
In like a newspaper, or has to be an ad or something for so long.
Normally if you open up probate, the courts actually do require that it's distributed to make sure there's no collections or any outstanding debts.
Yeah. Who does that? The executor?
The courts usually. The executor, but normally it's done through the courts. At least here, it's pretty straightforward where you basically just run, they tell you right where to run the ad in the state of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty easy thing to do.
How much is it about to become to get a paperwork to become the executor and file all that? Is it a big amount of money?
I don't know. I mean, I would think, again, you're in a different state. So my suggestion would be is to see if you can find an attorney or someone in that state just to get those answers done.
Yeah, because he's dragging his feet. He doesn't need the money, but I do. And I'm like, well, I could just do it myself.
I hear you.
If I could do it remotely, it would be great. And then when I get that percentage, I have do I have to pay a tax in Tennessee on that, or just to the state of
New Jersey? Yeah, you'd only be the state that it's inherited, as well as Fed. We don't have an income tax here. Okay.
So I wouldn't have to pay. So I wouldn't have to pay that state.
You would have to pay in the state. Most states require, if the money is earned in that state or the person deceased died in that state, that taxes would still be due in that state. In most cases, again, I don't know what states we're talking about. So, but I'll take a, unfortunately, on the show, but that's a great question. If you need some more help, okay. I have no problem. Give my office a call and we'll see if we can help out. Okay.
Yeah, I'll do it. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. All right. If you have a question, you can join the show at 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986. Taking your calls, talking about taxes. Sorry, that last one got a little bit into to legal things. And I want to make sure you understand, I am not an attorney, so I don't know what different states, or even what the state of Tennessee really requires, with the exception of helping some clients with the states. But my personal opinion would be, go to an attorney, because they're the ones that would know how to handle all of that without question. But again, if you are a small business owner and you have franchise excise in the state of Tennessee, you may want to review your 2023 return, only because if you had assets that you did bonus depreciation on the federal side, you may not have gotten it on the state side, as well as if you have there was some other changes. Also, we all know about the business license, or many of us do, but if you filed your business license and didn't, made less than $100,000 and you paid something other than the $22 that are usually due or whatever, again, you want to make sure that you have that correct, and you don't overpay taxes. And, and again, even for a little bit larger companies that do the paid family leave and medical leave, there has been some changes on the franchise excise side of our business. So all those, you just want to make sure you have those going, so that you have the ability to make sure your base and your property. And many of these things moved to 2023. Some moved backwards. There is some changes that's also coming in at 2024. So, good time to make sure you're reviewing and handling all of the new state changes. No one wants to pay a dollar more than you have to. Obviously, again, we also have the extension for individuals that live in Robertson, Weekly, Cheatham, Gibson, Stewart, Davidson, Dixon, Montgomery, and Sumpner, that had the extension. So if you lived in those areas, you did have an extension, you have until June 17th. What I did want to bring up, I had a gentleman that had his tax person tell him he didn't have to worry about it till June 17th because he had the extension. But keep in mind, that doesn't stop making proper quarterlies. Your quarterlies are due on June 17th. Again, it extends. But if you didn't pay in 2023 all of your properly quarters, in this case, the gentleman had a one-time distribution and he owed taxes. And so if you didn't make the quarterlies properly, the penalties and interest will still happen. It would have happened on April, and now it will happen in June. But if your idea is that you don't have to pay any penalties or interest until, June 17th, but in theory, you may have owed penalties and interest anyways, because of the way you may have managed thinking that, well, I only have to pay at the end of the year once. The tax law basically says you have to make four equal payments based on the year before. If the year before you owed $10,000 and this year you owe $20,000, you did not make the four quarterly estimates. Now, some people will say, well, it's a one time. I sold a house. I made some capital gains. But then the law says 90 days after you've made the earnings, you need to make an estimated payment. Now, if the 90 days happen to fall on April 15th, then that's great. But that's not likely, since 90 days would have been into the new tax year. So in most cases, people, you should have already made most of your payments. So delaying it till June 17th could be costing you penalties and interest. That's what I'm trying to say. Penalties and interest could be coming at you if you haven't paid in. You're thinking, oh, I can wait till June 17th. Some people can because they didn't, you know, they owed $500 or they made all the proper quarterlies or they made 110% of the year before. So they are not in jeopardy. But many times the people that are avoiding had a big distribution of some sort. And then that turns into a situation where you're really just dragging your feet thinking you shouldn't have to pay it. There's a lot of ads that say, oh, I should, you know, I can make 10 cents on the dollar. I can negotiate for you. Keep in mind, that isn't for individuals that actually have the money sitting in the bank to pay the IRS. Just because you have it and you're thinking, well, I can make a deal. Does that make sense? Doesn't really make sense, does it? Because you have the money. All right, we're going to take our last break here. So if you want to join the show, now would probably be the time to think about doing it. 615-737-9986. Again, for some of you who have never heard me before, I am Dr. Friday, an enrolled agent with the Internal Revenue Service. I do representation and taxes. Been doing it for 28 years and going strong. And if you have questions or if you need help with dealing with the IRS or the love letters, I'm the person you need to call. And you can contact my office on Monday. But today, if you've got questions or you've got love letters or something coming up and you need help dealing with it, then this is the number you want to call right now. 615-737-9986. And I'll see if I can help you on the radio. If not, we can always set up an appointment at the office to do more private or simple meetings for you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll take your calls. 615-737-9986. All righty, we are back here live in studio, the last part of the show. So if you've got a question, now would probably be the time to call. Otherwise, you can always catch us at the weekdays at our office. But if you need something, 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986 here in the studio. And again, we are working on completing our 2023 taxes. So if you have not completed your 2023s and you need help, you can always give us a call at the office. Otherwise, make sure that you get them filed. I know we have extensions, but again, extensions don't always extend the money. And therefore, the money is what really matters. We don't want to pay a dollar more to Uncle Sam than we have to. And so in doing that, we want to make sure that we have everything in the right place. And if you have, I mean, this year I had a really unusual one where she came in just on Friday. And again, she had cashed out a long-term care policy, never received anything. And then they send a letter basically saying just, you know, the other day that, oh, wait, we forgot we should have sent this to you. And it was, you know, an additional tax of, you know, several thousand dollars. And so she just received that and we're, you know, obviously amended and paid the taxes. But things happen that way and sometimes out of our control. Other times we know of things that happen, but sometimes we forget during the year. So I would always say if you have any opportunity to make sure that you have the ability to double check and make sure everything you know that happened in that year, maybe even keep a cheat sheet, you know, something that says, hey, I sold something, I purchased, I changed jobs. That is always a big one for us. When people change jobs, they forget to what's the easiest way? You know, they basically forget that they had the job. I know it doesn't seem, but you know, you're so busy and you're not sure. And so when it comes down to it, you forget. And then you're like, oh, wait, that's right. I did work here. And now Uncle Sam is saying something different than what the other, you know, what your taxes say. And then they've changed your taxes and either you don't get the refund that you think you should have had or worse, you owe more money. And that is a very scary situation when, you know, when you think you're having a refund and then Uncle Sam sends you a love letter saying, no, we, you owe us money. And then you're sitting there going, why? And so that's, and they're not very good at explaining those letters in all honesty. We get them all the time. And you know, for multiple years or multiple situations. And one of the biggest things you find out, it basically just says we've changed your return. And many times people don't even understand why that is, what's happening, where is it at? And then, you know, you're sitting there going, oh, wow, now I owe them and I don't even understand, or they've taken more than half of your refund. And it normally will say, in fairness, it will normally say that they have applied it to another open year, but many of my clients, when that happens, they come in and they're like, well, I didn't know I owed any money for that year. So, you know, again, one of those situations where you're like, oh, wow, I'm a little surprised, but, you know, take it from there and see what you have. That's really all I can say on that situation. And it's make sure that if you have a payment plan that needs to be done, have a question here. They haven't filed prior years, but they are obviously trying to get current. And so doing so, they basically said, hey, I haven't filed any taxes, but I owe them for 2023. So can I just set up a payment plan? Well, here's the problem. Uncle Sam is going to turn around and say, you're not in compliance. If you're not in compliance, you're not going to be able to set up a payment plan. So even though you have done something on this one and you're like, okay, well, that's great. I can make it. If you haven't, you need to go back and you need to file at least 6 years of taxes. You need to be in compliance. And if they have assessed you in any of those other years, had a client we just found out that had been audited, but he never knew of any audits in 2015. Well, you know, normally we wouldn't have to do 2015, but 2015 is an open audit. So it means we need to go back and deal with that one, since it's also a fairly large tax balance due, and then we can set up all of this into some form of a payment plan. We cannot do that if it's not going to be in the same scenario. So, you know, if you're trying to do it, you can set up payment plans online really easily, to be quite honest with you. But if you're not in compliance, they're not going to set it up. So that is an important situation. You want to make sure that you're in compliance. That, and if you can't, we can help you get all your tax documents. We can help you put that together and get that all squared away. But you know, if you don't have all of your taxes filed, the government's sitting there going, well, wow, I don't know if that's going to really work for us, right? I mean, that's they're thinking, well, if it's not, if we're not in compliance and you want to pay for 1 year, but how do we know you don't owe for all of these years? How do we know you don't have a situation where you actually owe for multiple years and you're just trying to pay for the 1 year, you know? That's a problem. So you just need to make sure that whatever you do, that you have the situation and you're able to file those different years and make it work. If you can't, then, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it comes out. But most cases, the IRS is not going to set up that payment plan. And so you're going to end up with more love letters saying intent to levy, intent to seize, attempt to do something, because they're like, you're not following the rules. Rules are not always black and white, but they are often black and white. So we want to make sure that you actually have everything you know. So if you've got questions, let's say you have love letters coming in. Maybe you're in a payment plan, but you know that you'll be paying for the next 10 years and you're not sure if, it, you know, maybe jobs have changed, situations have changed. And if that's the case, then guess what? You may be able to alter that payment plan if it's causing financial situations, if it's hurting you, if the financial hardship is part of it, then they may say, yep, that's a good idea. Let's see if we can work on that and see if we can help make that happen. Then, you know, we can also help you achieve what you want to achieve on that. If you need something else as far as being able to just deal with, maybe get a little breathing because the IRS has been, you know, hounding you. There are ways of helping to negotiate to slow down. You know, I know sometimes representation does get a bad rap because sometimes it doesn't seem like it's something that really is that difficult. And that's why I like to tell people, you know, you can go and do this yourself. You can make this, you know, one-time penalty go away. You may not be able to do multiple years, or you may not be able to deal with other issues, but, you know, there is this on the table. Let the people go ahead and do that instead of charging them $1,000 or $1,500 because, well, let's be honest, you have to spend an hour or two on the phone, which obviously is going to have to be paid by someone. So the best thing to do is to be able to turn around, make sure you have it set up the right way, and then you can deal with it. But, you know, just because there's a fear dealing with the IRS does not mean you should not be, you know, dealing with them. I know sometimes people, and if I'm representing you, I don't want you calling the IRS because I don't want you changing what I'm telling them and you're telling them. Sometimes that can confuse the revenue. But if no one's talking to them, if you don't have representation or you feel your representation is just not doing anything, then we need to make sure that you're in the right place and you're going to be able to do what you need to do. And you're moving forward to be able to get yourself out of the situation you're in today. It's hard. It doesn't seem fair sometimes. And I know I've had more than one person in this many years of doing it. They're always angry because, you know, I pay my house off, but the IRS wants to take it from me now. Well, I mean, again, keep in mind, if you have no debt on your house and you owe the IRS, their thought is you used our money to pay your house off. You could have been paying us, but you decided to make mortgage payments. Doesn't seem like a far reach. So you're not going to get the deal you think you're entitled to because all you have is your house. Now, that being said, there are caveats to any of those situations. It could be that that's the only asset you have and you're close to retirement. Maybe you would be able to use that argument that the money in the house is a retirement, therefore you can't afford to pay. There are different arguments, but you really need to understand how it works and what you're going to do. All right, so we're winding down the show. Here we go. If you need to call us on Monday morning, you're going to call 615-367-0819. 615-367-0819. You can also email friday@drfriday.com. Check us out on the web, drfriday.com. All of those are available. So if you need to have someone take a second look, get a perspective on how or what you have going on. Maybe you're just at that precipice that's going to be, okay, I either have to go over this edge or I'm going to make a deal or make it work. You might need some help doing that, and that's what I can do. I can help you make a deal with the IRS if the deal can be made. I'm not one of those companies just going to say, oh, yeah, we can do anything. Not always can deals be made. Just keep that in mind. Again, phone number 615-367-0819. Email friday@drfriday.com. And the website is drfriday.com. I hope that you guys are enjoying this Saturday, spending some time outside, enjoying the fresh air. And as we always say in Australia, cop you later.